Welcome to the infamous podcast, Bitch, I'm Not Well. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Brandy.
And we're invested on taking you down to Crazy Town, where we talk about crazy bitches who are truly unwell.
Okay. All right. Get those vocals ready.
All right, they're ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
All right, so this one is going to be a long one. So this may be a 2 or 3-parter. So get ready.
Get ready.
Yes. A little warning. The following podcast contains discussion of child sex abuse that listeners may find disturbing. And if you don't, you a fucking bitch. Okay? All right. All right. Have you ever read, watched, or heard of The Handmaid's Tale?
I actually have not.
Oh.
And you have told me multiple times that I need to watch it.
I'm going
to
give you my Hulu login so you can watch it.
Yeah.
It was really good. It's also scary because you're watching a TV show, but then it's kind of like it makes you believe that this could really, truly happen. And that's terrifying.
I like those kind of shows.
I do too, because you get so engrossed in it.
Yeah.
And I mean, what good is a TV show or a movie or whatever if you don't feel like you're part of it? You know, like it sucks you in. So Margaret Atwood wrote the book in 1985 and the TV series stars Elizabeth Moss, love her, and can be watched on Hulu. The background is that a radical political group called the Sons of Jacob attack and kill the president, most of Congress, and take over the United States. The U.S. is now a military dictatorship known as the Republic of Gilead, basing their ideas and laws on the Old Testament and a new militarized hierarchy. They created social classes of which women are the lowest class. Not being able to own any physical property, make money, or even read and write.
No.
Yes. Women would be dressed in specific dress color codes based on their hierarchy so they could easily be recognized for their ranking.
That's messed up.
Isn't it messed up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't like the social class thing.
No. In order of highest to lowest, commanders' wives wore sky blue. Ooh. Their unmarried daughters wore white. The handmaids wore red with highly visible large white bonnets. The aunts, who train and indoctrinate the handmaids, wore brown. The Marthas, which were the cooks and the maids, or unmarried sterile women, or who were past the childbearing years, wore green. The wives of the lower-ranking men who handle everything in the domestic sphere wore blue, red, and green stripes, and widows wore black. Now, of course, some Americans fled to Canada or isolated parts of the United States and became rebel groups, but those who did not escape or could not escape were educated in this new way of life, some willingly, some forcibly. When the women were ready, they were assigned to a commander's home as a cook, a maid, or a handmaid. The handmaids served their household for the sole purpose of bearing children. To ensure that there was no affection or emotional ties between the commander and the handmaid, it was performed in a ritualistic state. So they enter this room, and it's always got a fireplace, so it must be some sort of a living room, where they get on their knees and they bless the ceremony that's about to happen, that the handmaid is fertile and, you know, that this will produce a baby. Because at some point in time, women started becoming sterile. I guess it was because the chemicals or whatever. So there was a few selective people that if they'd had a baby, they were going to be a handmaid.
Oh.
So they were determined to, you know, perform these ceremonies and obedience and all that submissiveness. Yay.
Mm.
So the blessing first, then they entered the bedroom. The handmaid would lay on the bed with her legs hanging off of the edge of the bed. All clothing remained on both parties, except the underwear, of course. No parts of the bodies were exposed. So even, you know, although her dress wasn't hiked up to her waist, like it was, everything was very covered. Like you just really couldn't see anything. It was strictly for fertility purposes, like for making a baby. The wife would take her place in the corner of the room to observe and ensure that there was no pleasure.
Don't like it.
I suppose it was intimacy that would be what would make her husband unfaithful, not the fact that his penis is inside another woman's vagina.
Yeah, that can't have anything to do with it.
Nope. And I cannot wait for season 3 to come out. And like I said, I was a little freaked out thinking, wow, that's a bit radical, but could happen one day. Like, I mean, who knows who could take over, because we have a lot of rebellious groups out there. So maybe, maybe not. Who knows? I ain't gonna be wearing red, though. I'll be wearing black.
I'm wearing black.
I'll be wearing black or stripes or something. I don't know. Anyway, actually, I'd be the rebel. I would be a rebel.
You might be the leader of the cause.
No, I don't want to do that. Okay.
The Book of Kelly.
Oh, God. So it's a bit radical, but it could happen one day. And then, boom, as I'm researching the usual sick shit that we have to research for this unwell podcast.
For y'all, because we love you.
I see an article that headlines, "The Real Life Handmaid's Tale." Excuse me?
What?
Of course, I had to dive headfirst into this shit. And now you have to hear about it. You're welcome.
Wow.
So the name of the cult community I will be talking about is Gloriavale in Hauperi, West Coast, New Zealand. It is described as a utopian place with stunning views surrounded by mountains and lakes and is always lush and green. As of June 2024, they showed an estimated population of 710 people.
Oh, wow. It's really small.
Very tiny place. On the Gloriavale website, they explain themselves as community members that have come from all over the world, forsaking all to follow the teachings of Jesus. They state that they have more than 90 families who are members of the church at Gloriavale. They believe in large families, boasting more than 30 babies born per year.
I mean, each one of those families would have to have 7 people in it.
Some have 13, 14.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's... The whole point is producing kids, like bam, 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 bam. Yes.
You don't even get to enjoy them.
No, you do not get to enjoy your children. We'll discuss that, though. But they say that they're a practical group of people bound together by a common faith in God and the hope of salvation. While the church at Gloriavale exists to help people save their souls, the community provides the physical structure in which that occurs. And boy, do they provide the structure. The provision of work, education, housing, and a full social life allows them to create a society that is Christ-centered and working on biblical principles. Here, the aim is to make a place where it is hard to live a selfish, worldly life, but easy to find God's will and live in a daily service to the Lord Jesus. They profess perfect obedience to God, complete unity of thought, no self-will, no argument or strife, and no sin.
Wow.
That's what they profess. They only use the King James Bible and rely on how their leaders have interpreted the scriptures. And their leaders are only men.
Mm. Of course.
Of course. Now, this all sounds like a simple, peaceful, and beautiful way of life.
No, I feel like it's a life that doesn't have electricity.
Yeah, I think they do.
Okay.
So it's a place that you could go and be safe and loved and cared for, according to their website, you know? Free of human judgment, free of financial hardships, just a peaceful, loving life. But I'm here to burst your bubble.
Oh, man.
Because this damn place is a community of extreme manipulation, degradation, physical, sexual, and mental abuse. And what these people endure and submissively continue to endure is unfathomable and sickening.
Damn.
Period.
That's a lot.
And that's coming straight from my heart.
From my heart, my mouth to you.
That's to my your ears. That is my interpretation of it. You can interpret whatever you want, but that's mine. And I think you might agree with me. It all begins with a man by the name of Neville Cooper, known later in life by his community as Hopeful Christian.
That's what he changed his name to.
Yep. Yes.
All right.
Yep. Neville was born in 1926 and served as a pilot in the Air Force. He married his wife, Gloria, in 1947 when she was just 16. Now, he was 21. Gloria was described as a gentle, sweet-natured woman who was adored by all and happy to submit to her charismatic yet forceful husband. Neville became a born-again Christian evangelist, heavily influenced by American evangelist Billy Graham. Oh, he began traveling to preach to Christian communities throughout Australia in the 1940s, eventually moving to Queensland, Australia. He started a mission called The Voice of Deliverance, and one of the founders of the mission donated a small plane to Neville.
Oh.
This was amazing. Like, now he could travel further to spread his interpretations of the Word of God to isolated parts of the country. He became known as the Flying Evangelist.
I could just picture somebody like on a broom with like their hair flapping in the wind.
To keep his family's needs met, he relied on God to provide and accepted donations from supporters. And between missions, he would take whatever jobs were available. This is impressive. Like, he did mechanic to baker.
Dang.
Neville was intelligent and skillful and learned new talents quickly and easily. He built a caravan from scratch for his family to live in and sewed all the dresses for his wife and first five daughters before teaching Gloria how to sew.
Oh my gosh.
Dude. Right?
So he can bake, he can sew.
He can bake, he can sew, he can clean, he's a mechanic. He can build a caravan, he can fly a plane.
Dang. Like, it's multi-talented. Man.
In December of 1965, when Gloria was pregnant with their 10th child, she, Neville, and two Aboriginal missionaries took the plane from Queensland coast to Coolangatta, about 217 miles south. Halfway into the trip, the plane's engine stopped. Zip.
Oh, nothing. Gosh.
The plane took a nosedive and hit the treetops below, ripping the wings and tail off. With the exception of one of the Aboriginals suffering from a broken neck, the rest of them had minimal wounds and they all survived.
Oh my gosh.
Like, they all survived.
That's crazy.
They sat for 3 days waiting for help, surviving on mangoes and drinking water from a nearby watering hole. When they realized that no help was coming, Neville set out to find help, eventually coming across a fisherman. The group's survival was considered by rescuers and police to be a Christmas miracle. 5 months later, Gloria gave birth to a girl, which they named Miracle. In 1967, Neville was invited to New Zealand to preach the Word of God. Although several of the other religious groups thought his interpretation of the Bible was too radical, others embraced it. So much so that Neville returned to Australia to collect his wife and children and move to New Zealand.
So it's like the Gospel of Neville.
Gospel of Neville. After 18 months or so of traveling the country of New Zealand, the family settled in Rangiora, near Christchurch. It was here that Cooper helped found the local New Life Church. Following a breakdown in the relationship with the local New Life pastor, Cooper established his own church called the Christian Church. Isn't that how it works, though? Like, that's why we have all these different religions. Everyone interprets the Bible differently, and you don't do it this way, so I'm going to do it this way. And now all of a sudden we have a different religion yeah. and a different faith and a different church. And, you know, that's how it all blows up. So his own church was called the Christian Church at Springbank near Christchurch, bringing half of the New Life congregation with him.
I'll bet that preacher was pissed.
Ooh, don't you know?
You took my congregation.
What?
You backstabbing hoe.
Oh, my God. God. They became known as the Springbank Christian Community.
So original.
Wasn't it, though? Many of his ideas sounded quite appealing. He preached about unselfish charity after seeing a family struggling through the rain with a baby carriage, trying to come to church, and then two other families arriving in very expensive cars. He asked the congregation why they shouldn't pull their resources together, sell the expensive cars, buy cheaper cars, and fix them up for those in need. The struggling family was gifted with a car that Neville fixed himself. Due to his mechanical knowledge, you know, like, he fixed this car up and boom, the little struggling family that had to walk through the mud and everything to come to church now had a vehicle.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. He preached total unselfishness and faith in God to provide. He asked the congregation to buy nothing for themselves for a full month, assigning each family another family to provide for their needs. Neville felt that this fostered a culture of giving and equality, leading people to hold possessions in common pools rather than personal ownership.
Oh, sounds like great.
Socialism to me. One of the first projects in 1971 was to start a Christian school with biblical values taught by their own teachers. Of course, there was a church complex and other buildings that suited their growing community needs. In the beginning, their economy depended on the tradesmen, who earned a reputation for their honesty and the quality of their drain laying, building, plumbing, painting, floor laying, and aircraft engineering skills.
Where were they after the hurricanes?
Yeah, we totally needed them.
We needed y'all.
So then all the income went into a common purse. So whatever you made, it wasn't like you give God 10%. No, you give your whole paycheck and then we provide.
So you know? It's like you get an allowance almost? Or no, you don't have to buy anything. The church buys stuff for you.
The church buys stuff for you. And it's based on a point system. They began establishing businesses on their own property by growing market garden produce, growing willow cane for basket making, dairy farming, manufacturing enterprises, which included making furniture and waterbeds.
Oh, wow.
And baking bread. They also raised pig and sheep.
So the women could work too, or just the men?
Oh, the women worked.
Okay.
But the women worked women work.
Like, oh.
They didn't do no man work. Okay. Soon after, the church began buying groceries in bulk to save money and distribute everything equally according to the point system. The point system was then extended to apportioning wages and profits amongst the group from church businesses, and eventually the church was providing for all the members' needs, so money was no longer required and wages were no longer paid out at all. Members closed out their personal bank accounts and relied solely on the church.
That's scary. You can't even rely on yourself.
Yeah. Two of Neville's daughters married brothers who later inherited farming property. They allowed the church to use the property, but eventually one of the brothers donated his portion of the property to the church, and the brother who left the community sold his share to the church. Neville had very strong beliefs, and those beliefs are still followed today. One of his beliefs was that everyone should wear modest clothing. The women were to wear long dresses that covered them from neck to ankle and wrists. The men wore full-length trousers and shirts with long sleeves. Nothing was to be too fitted, expensive, or striking.
Man, they melt over here.
What? Yeah. When he heard about the clothing in local Amish communities, Neville decided to introduce a matching dress for all women to wear.
Oh, how romantic.
Nice. In 1989, Neville designed and drew up the dress that all women in the Gloria Vale community still wear today.
Oh my gosh.
Hello, 1989.
Wow. I'm assuming they make these themselves.
Fashion never dies. Which is true. I want a tracksuit. So
sometimes fashion should die.
Sometimes it should, but sometimes it makes a comeback and it's.
Yes. A lot of times it makes a comeback.
I love it. I know. I want some. The jeans that are elastic at the ankle.
Oh, yeah. Like the joggers.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are cute.
Yeah. Parachute pants. What? Okay. Over time, this dress was introduced to girls from toddler age upwards and even had one for swimming, a swimming dress.
God, you could drown.
Right.
That's so dangerous.
Right. The men wore dark blue trousers and light blue shirts. And women and girls were also to wear a scarf on their heads. On the Gloria Vale website, yes, they still have a website.
Oh, gosh.
On the FAQ page, they state, head coverings such as scarves are worn as a sign to the angels that a woman has placed herself in submission to the authority of the man.
Oh, my gosh.
As taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 and 4, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth, with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. So that's saying that, you know, like whenever you go into church, a man will take his hat off.
And okay.
A woman should always have her hat on. Or her scarf on, her head covered. It has been the custom among Christian people for centuries for men to remove their hats when entering a place of worship and for women to have their heads covered. Only in the last century did these traditions start to change with the fashions of the world, but the scriptural basis for it is something that they acknowledge and obey.
They still wear veils to the Catholic Church.
Yeah, I've seen that, especially in like Spanish churches or, they still wear the... And in France, you know, in
our church
Europe
does.
And all that. Do they really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a There's a few women that still that wear them.
Well, that's why they do it.
And they're young. They're my age.
Wow, that's why they do it. Yep. It's making a comeback, people. Scarves are coming back.
Yeah.
Love me some hats.
I'm going to get me one.
I don't look so great in scarves. I think my face is too big, too long. I don't know.
My cheeks are really chunky. I look like a chipmunk when I have everything.
It is their belief that men should have short hair while the woman should grow their hair long. No jewelry or makeup is permitted, including wedding rings, as this was a pagan ritual. For weddings and special occasions, women are allowed to wear pink or pale blue, but these dresses are not seen by the public.
Oh, why not? I'm going to go take pictures and send them to the tabloids.
They are, like, I guess they only wear them to certain ceremonies, you know, and you can't be an outstanding individual. So you can wear it to celebrate with the community, but you're not, there's no pride, there's no...
So, like, are all the dresses that are these colors the exact same?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, you know, if you have 7 bridesmaids... In today's world, we're like, let Sally Jean get that A-line because that's what she's comfortable in. And okay, if you want the short one, you get that one. And you can wear your strapless and you can do this and that. No. No.
I was so happy the last wedding I was in, the bride had big boobs, so she understood that I hate strapless dresses.
Yeah. But over there, hey, if you don't look good in it, that's...
It don't matter.
It's not even a problem.
I think like the last 4 or 5 weddings I've been in, we've been picking out our own dress, like this is the color we want. Yeah. Pick whichever you want.
I know. I love that. Neville also believed that vows and consummation were what forms a marriage bond. And once a bond is formed, they were mated for life. There was no divorce in Gloryville. So, I mean, it's such a small community anyway. You could probably throw a rock at somebody and
that's who like, you're going to marry.
You think you're going to leave?
I'll show you.
You ain't going nowhere. You might go to the lake.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to find you. I'm going to bring you back.
Mm-hmm. Neville did not believe in celebrating Christmas, Easter, or birthdays.
What?
Although they did celebrate births and marriages. He did not believe in using the names of the months, only numbers. So January is referred to as the first month. February is the second month. March is the third month, and so on and so on.
Is that because he couldn't say some of the month's names? You know, he couldn't pronounce them?
I don't understand what his reasoning is on that. So if anyone out there understands, please let me know, because I couldn't really figure that out. Maybe because they're related to like Aries and Sagittarius and, you know,
Julius Caesar.
Yeah, maybe they were the names of the months. I don't know how that even occurred. Was it Julius?
Yeah, July is named by him.
Okay. Neville also believed that members should do away with their earthly names and take on names that signify their purposes in life. So Neville renamed himself Hopeful Christian. Some other names in the community are Steadfast, Love, Hopeful, Faithful, Constant. Like these are like... People actually renamed, and the ones that were born in there, and they renamed their last names. Like, they didn't have a driver's license. They had nothing. Like, so they gave all of their worldly possessions, and everything that was known about them was outside of this community.
So did they all have the same last name?
Nope. So in 1989, the community published a book called What We Believe. It's a guide to their way of life, which is updated periodically. On the forbidden list is wearing sunglasses.
Oh, man, I'd be out.
What? My eyes are sensitive. What if it's a super bright day?
Yeah.
Listening to worldly music, which is understandable. Rolling up your sleeves. No skin, please.
Oh, gosh.
Shall not show skin.
I'd be out.
Smoking. No smoking. No vaping. No alcohol. No caffeine.
Oh, yep. Out again.
And obviously, no recreational drugs.
I wonder if they do drug screens.
No.
No.
No. Everything is a la natural. So, in 1990, Gloria began suffering from terrible headaches, and it was found that she had a brain tumor.
Oh.
2 months after her diagnosis, Gloria passed away.
Wow.
And Neville was grief-stricken.
That was quick.
Mm-hmm. The Springbank community were quickly outgrowing their current site, and in 1991, they fell upon a larger piece of property at the foot of the Southern Alps. Can you imagine? Like,
wow, that'd be beautiful.
Gorgeous. It was a farm surrounded by native bush bush. It was a forum surrounded by native bush, bordered by the Halperi River and Lake Halperi. The new location was named Gloriaville after the late wife of Neville Cooper, and it was there that they established the existing Gloriaville Christian community.
So by this time, Neville's like 70.
I believe. Yes. The Springbank property was sold, and Gloriaville purchased two large dairy farms in Halperi Valley and across the Halperi River called Glen Hopeful. They built the district's first Rotaflow dairy, floating concrete platform for a 40-bell rotary dairy. So I think that one of the dairy farms was across the lake. So they built this floating dairy platform that would haul the hay over to the other.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Kind of like a little barge.
Like a little barge. More people were joining their community, calling a need for more infrastructure, including a church called Gloriaville, four large hostels, equipment sheds, and a main center. The main center housed a commercial kitchen, mess hall, school rooms, preschool, office spaces, commercial laundry, boiler room, and several living spaces. Dang. This main center was also used for communal gatherings and feasts. Family members had one room to share in the hostel.
So even if they're like 13 people, they're all in the same family room?
Yes, some of these families had 13 or more children. They did not have a kitchen. They did not have a bathroom.
No.
Everyone ate as a community in the mess hall and shared like a dorm style bathroom, like a, you know, multi showers like you would have in a gym or something.
You lost me, Neville. I'm sorry. I'm out.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
I couldn't even do a shower like with 13 kids, with my own 13 kids.
Yeah. No.
No.
Uh-uh. What if y'all have to go to the bathroom at the same time? What if you have a stomach bug?
And they're probably like, well, you're going straight to hell.
Well, here's your bucket, bitch.
Scrub up. Mm-mm. And use the same water.
Ugh. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Have you ever heard that?
Yes, but that might happen.
Yeah, because they would wash, back in the day, they would let
the baby
men,
would be born last. I mean, be born. The baby would be born last.
The men would bathe first, and then the women, then the children, mm-hmm. then the baby. So if they dropped the baby in the dirty bathwater, they couldn't find it sometimes, and so it would literally be thrown out with the bathwater.
Holy crap.
Yeah, could you imagine?
No. Oops, sorry.
That's my bad.
Sorry, Gary.
Oh, you're fine. You can swim.
Gloriaville established several enterprises, including a sphagnum moss export business called Discoveries in Gardening, a deer farm, pet food manufacturing plant, honey production, a helicopter servicing business, and a hunting lodge venture called Wilderness Quest NZ.
Wow.
Right? These people were very productive.
Yeah.
The Gloriaville women cleaned and cooked for the clients staying in the Wilderness Lodge. The food served to the outsiders was much better in comparison to what the Gloriaville community ate.
What?
The men from Gloriaville took the clients hunting for water buffalo, red trophy deer that they had raised, wild boar, goats, rams, and game birds. Clients could also fish the Halperi River. Gloriaville no longer owns the Wilderness Quest in New Zealand.
Why?
I guess they sold it. But, yeah, so their clients would get, like, steaks and mashed potatoes and whatever else they have in New Zealand. I don't know what you grow over there, okay?
Yes, but really good stuff.
They would have all these, this feast of this meal, and it was like beans and rice and, you know, maybe chicken or something. I don't know. Like they ate as a community.
That would get old real fast.
You know, it's really like eating at school every day, every meal.
Man, when I went to college, well, not in McNeese, but UL, they had a really good cafeteria. They had like home cooked meals. They had Mexican. They had pizza.
Yeah,
they had
this
a salad
was not
bar.
That.
Yeah,
this was not
really,
that.
Really good.
I would liken it to be like a prison, like prison food. You know.
Yeah, I bet that's not good. Here's I wonder if anybody serving. Shanked each other.
No, I don't think there was any shanking going on.
I want those mashed potatoes.
There was a lot of shagging going on.
Oh.
The leadership in the community consists of 16 male ministers who are referred to as shepherds and servants. Three senior shepherds run the Gloriaville Trust.
Is that where all the money is?
Mm-hmm. Mm. There is a house mother who answers to Gloriaville's main leader. She is responsible for all of the domestic organization, including household duties and budgeting. The commercial operations are all managed by men who also answer to the main leader, who answers to God. Huh. So if you are ill, your first recourse is praying. They will seek out medical advice, but they do trust God over science and drugs. They lead a healthy lifestyle with a sensible diet, and they believe prevention is better than a cure, which we all believe that.
Yeah.
Hopefully. They have fasting periods where they go days without food or eat only rice for a month.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I'd have such a bad headache.
I know. There are two trained midwives in the community, and home births are considered ideal. This means no epidural for you.
Mm-mm.
Births were celebrated, but the mothers did not get special treatment. For the first and second babies, the mother got 4 weeks off of early morning duties, but so had to continue working. Yes.
What did they do with the baby? Strap it to their back?
Nope. They bring the babies to the child care center. And if the baby needs to be fed, the nursery contacts the mom with, like, through a walkie-talkie. Like, hey, come feed your baby.
Yo, Vicky, your baby hungry.
Your baby hungry, come feed him. And they have, like, a time limit that they can feed the baby and then give the baby back and leave and go back to work.
All right, baby, you got 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. You better be on the schedule. Mm-hmm. Neville's going to be angry.
After the third baby and so on, you take care of your babies until breakfast time. And then you work from 9 to 3:30, pick up your kids, get them ready for dinner. And then, you know, go to dinner and then you have your prayer meet, whatever. And then you go to bed and you start your day at 3 a.m.
Do you think their babies sleep all night?
I don't know. I mean, if they don't, that's a real pill, right?
Mm-hmm. So, before, I know the men ain't getting up over there with them.
Not only that, like, you have zero opportunity to bond with your baby.
Yeah.
Like, your baby is born. Maybe they give them a couple of days off to heal. Maybe not. I don't know.
Girl, you had them yesterday. You're fine.
Yeah. What's, I mean,
get out there and pick the corn.
Damn.
Or shuck the peas or whatever.
Karen had her baby in the field.
She didn't even stop working.
She just held her baby in one hand and she was picking corn with the other.
Yeah. You need to be like Karen.
What you're complaining about. Yeah. If they even got lunch. Yes,
we're fasting this month.
Yeah.
I wonder if the pregnant women fasted too.
Yes, they fasted. Everybody fasted. They have, everything they did was as a group. Mm.
You think they want a shit schedule? We all have to poop together. Everybody hold hands.
Oh. Uh-huh. You better get your shit together, literally. Literally. Okay. So the children attend Gloria Vale Christian School, which was established in 1971, so that the children would no longer be taught about evolution and so-called ungodly values. The Gloria Vale website explains that they are more interested in educating children in accordance with their way of life and equip them where they can meet the needs of their community life, which means what they're taught in school is, I guess, maybe the basics, you know, learn how to read and write.
Read, write, count.
Maybe count. Yeah, probably count. But then they're taught, okay, you're going to work at the sphagnum moss plant. So we're going to prepare you for that. Like, we're going to prepare you for...
You're going to be a mechanic.
Which they should teach practical skills in public schools and private schools here, but they don't. Mm-hmm. But that's probably more or less what they taught them. Yeah, so
like the women there probably was nothing learned to learn. To cook and clean, I guess.
Cook and clean, yes.
Pop out babies.
Yeah. Also, every child learns how to play a musical instrument and has the opportunity to play in the community brass band, orchestra, or one of several other ensembles.
Hmm.
And they have these little festivals and they all play, you know. So it's not boring over there. Like, they don't have Xbox and they don't have Nintendo Switches. They just, they have their little musical instruments and they sing and they enjoy each other's company forever.
Me and the boys have been playing a lot of Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's fun. That's why it was taking me so long to text you back last night. I was looking up how to do stuff on my phone.
Dirty dog. I'd hand
it to Drew and I'm like, this is how you do it. Well, watch the YouTube video.
You're going to hell.
No. Damn it.
All right. So schooling is only up to the age of 15. I mean, I guess you've learned everything you can learn by that point. And the final year is a combination of part-time studies and work experience. So at 16 years old, you're working.
I do wish schools around here would do more, like, work experience stuff.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, like full one, jobs.
One class, one course.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, here you go. For this hour, because, like, when Chris was in school, the ag shop, they showed him how to build chairs and benches. They fixed fences.
Practical things.
Yeah, like practical stuff.
They learned a lot. The majority of kids are not even getting at home.
No.
Like they don't even, they're lucky if they even get a lunch sometimes. Or a meal at night. So
the duck off, like the fundraiser for the school that was a few weeks ago, their ag department made really, really, really nice bench. I had like a table built into it. And they had some deck chairs and stuff. And they're made by the kids. And it's like, wow, I don't know how to do that.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Oh, they do send some kids to university to learn medical skills or attorney or financial or, I mean, they've got a lot of businesses, right? Or accounting or things like that. But they do have to go to specific universities, like like-minded universities.
I wonder if they, like, how many of them don't come back?
Oh, they all come back.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they go to university specifically for that. And they've got their blinders on because their entire lives they've been raised in this community and told that everyone on the outside wants to either hurt them or trick them or, you know, it's just a total mind fuck. Like they think humans are evil.
What if?
And they might be Christians, but they're all still going to hell because they still have their worldly possessions and things like that. So they got their little blinders on and they're just,
you know, it would be really
ducks
funny.
In a row. Okay, so those who did not move on to university entered the community workforce. Hmm. Young men enter apprenticeships or cadetships for business within the community, and the girls work with food preparation, cleaning, and other domestic duties. Domestic duties. Neville Cooper discouraged family members of Gloryville from developing leadership qualities due to his belief that women were mandated by God to submit to male leadership.
Oh, Neville.
At the age of 16, the members are strongly encouraged to sign a Gloryville Declaration of Commitment that waives their right to receive income and give over all their blessings to the community. If they do not sign it at age 16, they're required to do so at 18. Girls are expected to also sign a contract promising to submit to men, look after the home, and remain meek, model, and pure.
Do they have like arranged marriages and stuff?
Yes, they do. But this is where I leave you.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, I guess I'll see you later.
So isn't this like, this is some...
That's crazy. Like I guess I knew stuff like this was out there, but...
It's insane.
Yeah. Like this is crazy. That's a lot.
All right. So join us next week for part two. Dos.
Dos.
Dos. All right. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye. We appreciate you listening to our podcast. If you liked it, please give us a good rating. You can listen on your favorite podcast platform with new releases every Friday. Just search for Bitch, I'm Not Well. Send us suggestions for an episode at b.tchimnotwell@gmail.com because Gmail won't let us use bitch. Bow, bow. Or visit our website at www.bitchimnotwell.com for more podcasts and our fabulous merchandise.
We'll see you next week on another podcast about another crazy bitch who is truly unwell.